You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Pride Time on a Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Good, man. I'm looking forward to today's show. We have Greg Jenkins of Bravo Productions. He's going to be our guest, and we'll get to learn a little bit about what they do and all kinds of good things. So I get to spotlight a Long Beach business, too.
We love that. That's our thing, huh?
Yeah. Still kind of backing up, coming back, too, from yesterday, man. Last night was a long night.
Was. You know, I had to get up and go take the kid. I had to participate in the school field trip.
Oh, right after that.
To his new the middle school he's going to go to.
Right.
So, is a walking tour?
Yeah. No,
it's like herding cats.
All I had to do is get up and drop him off at school, man.
Yeah. So, it was actually kind of cool, though, because he kind of got excited about it. And you know, some of the kids, I guess, are really nervous, you know? Like, this is one girl was just like terrified at the thought. So, you know, going there and kind of knowing where at least everything is, where the cafeteria is, where the restrooms are, seemed to, you know. And then he got excited about, he's kind of like, he likes the science. Yeah, he's a little geeky. Wonder where he gets that from. And he likes the science stuff. And they went in the science room, look, it's all, you know, because it's the end of the year, they got all the projects up that they've done. And so he was kind of pumped about that. He's like, that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, it's cool, but it wore you out. I can't imagine being a teacher. Man, that just like, it sucks the life right out of you. It does. I mean, those teachers are like,
well, they earn their keep. That's
they certainly earn. I'm sure whatever they get paid, they're not getting paid enough, because I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world. So, kudos to them.
Yeah, my sister's a teacher. My mom was a teacher. You know,
I
played for a little bit, about, you know, a semester here, just helping out. But you're right, it's a lot of work. And
it's a lot of work, man.
And I only, you know, showed up for one class.
Yeah. That's thankless for so many of those kids. You know, a lot of those kids just don't care. They don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And you get the good ones that are, in the sense, like, they want to be there and they're interested and they're listening to you. And you get the other, like, that's about, seems like on a good day, it's half of them.
Yeah.
Seems like the other half, they want to be somewhere else and they're willing to do whatever it takes to be somewhere else.
I'm hearing us. Yeah, are we playing somewhere else too, man? We got something else plugged in.
Could you hear my headphones?
Maybe that's what it was.
I pulled them out because, like, I'm talking,
okay.
It just confuses me.
No worries. Oh, because you're behind then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm hearing. All right, you know what we're gonna do, man? Let's take our first break and come back and introduce Greg and find out all about Bravo Productions. We're gonna let you listen to "The Whole World's Watching," a song by Mark Platt. And Mark Platt was our guest last night, and he had some great in-studio performances along with his partner there, Thomas?
Thomas.
Hornig, yes.
Oh, good. I can't say his last name.
If you get a chance, go look in just go to the website and you can listen to last night's show.
And he'll be doing a couple shows nearby. If you can hear him live, he's worth it. He's
yeah, super talented.
I mean, we've been listening to his songs for, what is it, 4 or 5 weeks now, but four or five shows, I should say. But to hear him live was even better, as it usually is for the good performers.
Yeah, it was really good. And like you said, he'll be playing at Genghis Cohen in L.A. on the 18th of this month. So let's listen to Mark Platt, take a quick break, and come back and introduce you to our guests. You're listening to Swoop's World Primetime on the Talk Story Radio Network. We'll be right back.
you gonna do with the whole world watching? Did you think this through? Now that the whole world's watching, what about those people marching in your streets? Are you just gonna wipe them out when you don't agree? How much blood will spill?
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Welcome back to Swoop's World Primetime. And as always, we come out of a break laughing because the conversations that we have during the breaks are always fun, too. So you have to be in studio to get a part of those. But anyway, our guest today is Greg Jenkins of Bravo Productions. And welcome to the show, Greg.
Hey, nice to see you guys, Keith, Peter.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for showing up. And tell us a little bit about, well, before we get into what Bravo Productions is, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, actually... short version is I'm originally from Michigan. I was the kind of person that I knew that I always wanted to be in the events industry. So, you know, it's like those art people, they have a pencil in hand, the writer who can write, and, you know, when they're 2 years old. Well, I was a kid, lined up my army men and all of that, and, you know, Thanksgiving Day parades, they were always just really fascinating, so I just knew I wanted to be in the events industry, and so that's where I landed.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
How long have you been in the area here?
I've been in Long Beach for about 25 years, yeah. Actually, over 25, maybe 27 years, and, you know, when I was a kid, we used to always take our summer vacations. It's funny talking to Peter during the break, and, you know, and you with all this ranging for kids going break and summer, but we used to always spend our summer vacations in California. So I was a little familiar with it, but it was from the tourist angle. Oh, we're going to Disneyland.
Right.
Oh, we're going to Universal Studios. So not like, oh, I got to get up and get on the 405.
Yeah. Okay,
so. Grind. That's a big difference.
It is a big difference. It's a big difference. It's a grind. It's a grind.
Oh, good. So tell us a little bit about Bravo Productions and how you got involved with it, and what exactly is it, and the goals and things like that.
Very cool. Yeah, actually, we've been around since 1987, and just a quick history. We actually started our company. We're solely doing floats for the Tournament of Roses Parade. Mm-hmm. My business partner and I handle PR for a company that manufactured floats for the Rose Parade. He was the art director. We're killing ourselves and say, oh, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to do it for ourselves like that. And so we started building floats, had two clients out of the gate, and building floats for the Rose Parade. And then it just multiplied. It just kept growing. Eventually what happened is our clients started asking us to do all these things outside of the Rose Parade. You know, their CEO retirement party or this or that. Or then we started getting calls from commercial production companies and movie studios to do this and that. And so I said, oh, okay, well, there's money to be made here. And so, okay, I've had enough of flowers. Okay, I'm done with it. But and that's how I kind of moved in that direction more or less. But again, my background, when I lived in Michigan, you know, we were doing things such as the Democratic National Convention would come to town, or Republican Convention, or this and that Grand Prix Cool Jazz Festival. That's when festivals were sponsored by cigarette manufacturers, which, you know, can't do it today. But and then when I relocated, I worked for a PR firm, and we're doing rollouts and product launches and stuff. So it was just kind of a natural outgrowth. But basically, short version is Bravo Productions. We specialize in staging corporate association, government and military events nationwide. And the reason I say nationwide, because we live here, we're based in Long Beach, but a lot of our work is outside of the state of California, which is pretty cool.
You guys do a lot of traveling?
Yeah, a lot of traveling. It's interesting, but you don't get to, you know, you always, I'm sure you guys get, oh, but when you go, you get to see, and you don't get to see anything. You're there, you're in and out, you don't want to, you know, like we were in D.C. Working on an awards program. But the interesting thing is we had 2 hours to kill being there, and I actually got a chance to see the President's motorcade, President Obama's motorcade, cool. Which was very cool and stuff. And but you're in the city, you're set up, you do the show, and then you're out.
Right.
And you're back home.
The hotel room. and the event location.
Yeah, the event location, the hotel room, and the rest of it in the airport, and the rest of it, you just, oh, isn't that nice?
That's my experience in Detroit. I was there for 4 days to work an event. A guy hired me to be a part of a security team, and I knew the airports because we were shoveling VIPs and the hotel and where they play football, whatever that indoor stadium is. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything else about Detroit. Well, I see you have regional offices in a variety of places, Las Vegas, Washington, and Colorado also. Right?
Yeah, and basically we started that because it's just a two-hour flight. And so the one in Vegas, because we always do a lot of work in Vegas, we have projects coming up in Las Vegas. And then in Washington State, it was a young lady that we met, and she says, oh, you know, I'm interested, and I say, oh, okay, well, this is great opportunity. The one from Colorado is actually what happened is my business partner, sister, worked for us. She handled a lot of our bookkeeping and a lot of different things. And when they relocated and moved to Colorado, so it's like, oh, but can we do this there, too? So in the Denver area like that in Colorado Springs, so... And so it just became a natural outgrowth. It was interesting because we were also looking at Atlanta and back east. And then the economy, then 2007 started coming with the economy, and just like, okay, this is going to be put on hold for a while. This is on hold for a while. So, you know, but that's basically.
With the economy being how it is, have you Are you doing as many events, or has it really hurt you guys? It seems like that's an area people are going to have to scale back on.
Yeah, it is. We've always associated like flowers. It's one of the things that you don't have to have fresh flowers in your house every day.
Right.
Or, you know, it's kind of nice, but you don't have to do it. And that's how the events industry is. But, you know, it's really bounced back. I know immediately after the meltdown of the financial markets, everybody was just very scared because, oh, you know, we don't want to have the appearance that we're spending money. And,
right.
you know, we're especially not on a party or,
yeah,
you know,
right?
something
yeah,
where you,
yeah.
you're feeding people and you're giving them drinks. And, you know, so, but it's bounced back. And most of the clients that we had, they, like, for example, with the associations, they're always going to do something. They
right.
they have to do something for their members. They have to do conferences, meetings, and, you know, they have to do those things. And for corporations, they scaled them back so it wouldn't look appear to be so ostentatious or something.
Right.
But now people, you know, they're moving back, feeling a little bit more comfortable. And even with one, a corporate client that we're doing a war show down in Palm Springs, they cut their budget so much, but now it's moving way back in that direction. And I won't say that money is not an object, but at least it's going like, oh, but you, we can afford to do that too.
Right.
You know, so it's like, oh, okay, we can afford to do that too.
Let me ask you this. You have a lot of clients, a lot of corporate clients. Do you have a lot of, and I think about this because you mentioned the Rose Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of reoccurring events that you're locked into?
Yeah, there's some. For example, people would be surprised to know, like in January, it must have been around January 5th, we booked our first Christmas party. And people are thinking like, oh, you know, I'm just done with the holidays. My decorations are still up, you know. But we had booked our Christmas party. And then you're doing walkthroughs and things like this. But the moral of the story is just that it's a recurring client. We did their party last year, so they're ready to, like, get you signed and contracted and you're locked in. And we do two events for them. It's for the commercial real estate. They have an award show, which will take place at the JW Marriott downtown. So there are those type of clients, enterprise, the rental car folks and stuff, great. But they have they're recurring, and
right.
it's kind of great. So when we get some new ones, for example, we worked on a conference this past spring, and it was for returning vets. It was basically about the psychological changes that they go through when they return and all of that, and it was just really an interesting thing. That one may end up being a recurring client. It was a new client for us, but it may, you know, knock on wood, we did a great job, and so they came back and say, hey, we're going to do this again in 2012, and would you guys be interested? So that, you know, you can turn that one into a recurring client.
Well, when first of all, when people come to you and they have an idea, walk us through the process of somebody who decides they need an event. You're basically an event planner.
Sure, right.
What's the process if you know, we decided we wanted to throw a corporate event and we came and knocked on your door?
Okay. So Keith and Peter come to us and they said, hopefully they don't say, how much does it cost to do an event? And they said, well, what kind of shirt are you looking for in the department store? I mean, you know. So the question for us would be is, you know, what are your goals and objectives? What are you guys hoping to achieve here? Because, you know, you're developing a strategy to target exactly what those needs are. And so it may be attached to a demographic audience. It's definitely a marketing communications goal. It's nice around the holidays. Oh, I'm just going to have some friends. Oh, we're just going to party, or we'll just have some, you know, like that. But typically for a client, they would come and they have some goals and objectives. And so then we'll walk them through the process, obtain as much information, and then we'll take it from the design, the creative, budgetary, just logistics, everything, kind of lay it out and then present it. The idea, say, this is what we think where you should go with this particular thing. Securing sites, looking at venues and things like this, and the whole food and beverage entertainment ideas. And, you know, so it's a big, long, lengthy process. And it's we associate it as like making movies or, you know, just as you guys with your radio show, you've already planned people down in August. You know who the guests are coming down the road.
Right.
And that's for it. It's like it for us too, because your lead time, and just like a movie, you're in different aspects of the film making process before that film is actually released, and so it's like that for us, and it's quite a bit of lead time.
Do you also, if I don't, if we say we don't know where to have it, do you give suggestions for venues and all that? All those
types, yeah, we would make some recommendations. We're going to ask you a lot of questions, like where are your guests, where primarily are your guests coming from? So if you say San Diego, they're all, yeah, 90% of our guests are coming from San Diego. And so you say, oh, but we're going to have it in Los Angeles. It's like, you know, you may want to kind of rethink the concept here. Kind of want to rethink the concept. So, yeah, we'll kind of steer in some direction and ask you guys a lot of questions and things like this. And we see it as a collaborative effort. So right. Just as, you know, you guys are a collaborative, just a team effort here at Swoop World, it's the same thing if we're working with you. It would be, we're just kind of talking it through, just this conversation, and hopefully make that connection and move from there. So.
And then all goes, Pete, he's a numbers guy, former caterer. He'd say, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense.
What size events are you guys typically doing, and then what's kind of like your big and small end?
You know, it's that's an excellent question, and it's there's no simple answer because it could be an event for only 100 people. We did one, it was a launch. It was, for example, it was On Demand, when On Demand Cable was launched. Mm-hmm. And it was for a small audience. But it was a big event. It was a big media because the outreach and what they were trying to do like that. And then we did one, it was a product launch for example, like Disney Mobile. And it was done in Las Vegas and huge, but it was done for their key customers and stuff, right, to get familiar with the technology and the system, the phone, and those type of things. So it really just kind of varies, and you may have one, like we have a company that does their holiday party, it's like 600-700 people. And it sounds like a lot of people, but if you could just think of organized chaos, that there's people flood in, but it's all set up and it's laid out, and it's almost like you design the space so that you direct people without telling them where to go. So right, just in the studio, it's just like, okay, you see the studio's laid out, this is how it's going to work here, you know, and without having to ask and direct, right, how this, yeah, is going to move. So, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, give us an idea of some of the, you mentioned a couple of the, right, the companies you've done business for. Give us some of the, some of your, what do you call those, markers or high points since you've been, since you opened?
High point for me, a couple of high points. A high point would be when we did the grand opening for the Aquarium of the Pacific. And that was years ago, but the reason it was such a high point, one, you're doing something for the local community. And then two, the structure wasn't even up. So you're designing 7 days of events and you have nothing to see. You're looking, and I'm not an architect kind of guy. I'm not an engineer, so I need to see where the electrical outlet is and plug it in. I'm that kind of guy. I just need to see it like that. So you're looking at blueprints, and they're explaining to you, and just like, wow, okay, that totally went over my head. You know, we're just trying to make this work, and you know, and then you're still, and it took like 9 months of planning. It was 9 months leading up to it, maybe almost a year, and so that would definitely be a high point because it came off without a hitch and just dead tired. And then it took me, be perfectly honest, it took me about 3 years to say, like, oh, okay, I want to go see the aquarium. I've been there. I've been to the aquarium. Are you kidding? I was there before the fish arrived. And then another high point, trying to think of a high point. Oh, the United States Army. Because it was the first time where, like a government contract, and you realize that, wow, this is the size of a phone book, and did I miss something here, or just, I mean, you know, logically you're thinking like, God, I don't understand all the lingo here, just like that, and you sign your name to the document, and it's, again, the size of a phone book, and it's just like, wow, I think I gave away my first one, but I'm not sure, like that. But it was just because of the nature of the project, because it was for all the military installation bases worldwide, and they have this big thing, and it was the first year we did it for them. It was actually was in Long Beach, and then they took us on the road, Atlanta. Another one was in Louisville, Kentucky, which was not the most resourceful city, but which is a whole nother show. But I would say that would be a big highlight. I mean, there's so many that they're all just so different. They're just, you know, they're just all so different.
Yeah, you kind of led into my next question. Because you do things so many different places and stuff like that, how many full-time employees do you have? And then I assume you have to subcontract out a lot of things.
Correct. Yeah, we have 5 full-time employees and work like horses, yeah. like a team of horses. But we all have our different forte. I mean, everybody can't be the artist. Everybody can't be the manager at one time. Everybody can't, you know. So, but they're, for example, there's one who's excellent with logistics. You throw a napkin and tell him to try to fold it. He couldn't, you could explain it 200 times and he's not going to get it right. But security, police, permits, it's just like, you know, just military guy. Just precision, and it's just, he's just excellent with that.
I could have used him on that top of the town.
Yes, he did. After giving him, his name is Larry.
Stumbling through on our own.
Yeah, see, there
you go. We did a lot of stumbling there.
There you go. And then, for example, my business partner is the artist and stuff. He's because a picture is worth a 1,000 words, and we develop the concept, and then he puts it, and then without a whole lot of explanation, the clients just love it, or yeah. they're like that. And then he's also really good with structure. We build, most of our stuff is custom made, so we're not the party of a package or something like this. So just as we approach it, it would be like customized to whatever it is.
So we're not gonna show up at a Bravo event and say I could have got this at Alabama.
No, you're not gonna get that. No, because we'll say sometimes it's kind of funny. And this is kind of off the track, but we get, you know, some of the weirdest kind of things sometimes too, because people say they'll say like, oh, I'm expecting 200 people, and what are your budgetary parameters and stuff. If you ask them, well, how much do you want to spend, it's a put-off. So you just, oh, what are your budgetary parameters? And it's like, oh, I have about $100. It's like, wow, I don't... Have you been to the KFC lately or something? You know, you're going to spend more than that, and you're still not going to be able to feed your people, and we haven't even talked about the other provisions that need it. So, but it's... you know, again, it's just a very interesting endeavor, and it's been very enjoyable. Just love the work. Love the work.
Excellent. So,
how many events are you kind of averaging in a year?
Yeah, well, it really varies, because the way I count them, like one client, even though they have like 3 events attached to it or something, that's just one event for me. But others would say, oh, but that's 3 events, right. Because they technically is. So I would say we average at least about like 2 a month, and then sometimes... maybe 3. Like, we probably in December it's like 3. And that's really pushing it, because I know depending on the magnitude of them or depending on what was entailed. And then I like having a personal life, to be perfectly honest. I mean, we started our company just so that you could have some free time, and then you realize you never have any free time. You're just working all 7 days a week. But we just try to make sure that the quality of the work is going to always maintain itself and be there, as opposed to doing so much work and it kind of like falls flat, or it falls on its face, and you know, an egg on face. And we don't like egg. If you're our clients, we don't want egg on your face, and
right.
we don't want to hear you complain afterwards, so or in our face about it. So, you know, we try to avoid those situations.
We're gonna take another break. You're listening to the Swoops Row Primetime. Our guest today is Greg Jenkins of Bravo Productions. We're gonna let you hear another one from Mark Platt from last night. We'll be back right after this.
My almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Raspin Stewart. You're listening to Swoop's World.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed. Let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
Raspin Stewart, smoke the hookah and dance. Matt Raspin is one of our favorite guests, and got to see him play last week, last Saturday night at the Coffee Gallery in Altadena. So you're going to get a chance to check out Raspin Stewart, check him out. And the song you heard during the break was The Real Impossibles. That's back from the 80s. Mark Platt, our guest from last night, was a member of the band, and that was called Turn My World Around. Turn My World Around. So it was good times, man. Anyway, our guest today is Greg Jenkins of Bravo Productions. Like we always tell you, you can always like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. Chat line is open. If you got a call, you'd like to ask a question or something, 562-912-3444. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you.
One of the questions I had for you is when you first got started, and I know you came from the industry already, mm-hmm. and you took that leap, because everybody, mm-hmm. when they open up their own business, they take that leap. How scary was that for you? And did you come with clients already, or was it a smooth transition? How'd that go for you?
It was scary. It was scary, but I was pretty young and stupid at the time. But I mean, you know, just on that note, because when I relocated, I moved to Southern California. I didn't have a job, so I just like, I'm just going to move and pack up and move here, and I'll find one like that. I was, you know, in my early 20s, and so with that, but it was scary because you're going off on your own. You're giving up. What you think was a sense of security, but the thing is that we've always said, it's like, what's the worst could happen and stuff like this? What's the worst? You have to go back where you came from, or you have to move with relatives, or I mean, you know, and the worst doesn't seem that bad. So that leap of faith, and you know, we just kept just pushing at it. And part of it, I think you have an internal confidence or something like this, that yeah, we can do it. And even though you're sweating bullets and thinking like, well, that rent is going to be due pretty soon here, and we don't have a client yet. But so it was that aspect. But you know, we just kept plugging along. It's to be perfectly honest, it's just kept pushing forward, and then it just happened. The first client, and then one leads into two, and two leads into four, and things like this. And so that's how it happened. But I would recommend anybody, you know, just take that leap. If you have a little courage or that dream and say, like, you know, kind of, and especially with the economy being the way that it is now, it's that perfect opportunity to just say, like, okay, I'm going to just start this, or I'm going to at least try to do it and see where it pans out. And the worst that could happen is I have to go back to something else.
Well, we find that most people who take those types of leaps, or most entrepreneurs, They have somebody in their life that has given them that sense of confidence, mm-hmm. whether it's as a child or whether in school or something. Who was that for you?
I would say it's definitely my mother. Yeah. Definitely my mother. And you know, she raised three boys and the product of divorced parents, and that's a whole nother show, too. Although that one, that's a whole nother episode. So, but she was just kind of very, just push you forward, that you can do it, just that you can do it. And, you know, when you thought you could only get that C, oh, no, you can get a B. And when you get a B, oh, no, you can get an A on this exam. And so it's always that you can do one step or two steps better or something like this. And so it was, so I think that would be a good motivation. And I have an identical twin brother. That's another show, too. But identical twin brother. And he's been, he's always been a good support system, which is ironic because he went the corporate route and he's still with corporate America. And then I went a totally different route than him and just like, oh, okay. I don't understand you and you don't understand me, but it's okay. We're very close.
We'll support each other.
We're supporting each other. So that's basically,
Now, I was a, Swoop may have mentioned, as a caterer for a number of years. I was in the restaurant business and then did my own thing, which my story was I moved back to California from, I'd been living in D.C. and there wasn't any jobs. It was like, this was 95 or something. And just bad time. Couldn't get a job. So I had to start my own business.
Right.
And that's what got, I just didn't have a choice.
Right.
And plugged through it. And as you said, just one thing led to another. And in that line of work, just without fail, there's always, to put it politely, foobar.
Right.
Things just go wrong.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how well you plan things. And I've got a few of my own stories, but I'm wondering, because I know you, dealing with what you there must be a couple doozies that you could, enlighten us with, with us.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has a doozy. Everybody, as in our industry, we just say everybody has a war story and stuff. And so we have a war story, and one, I would say probably where I just wanted to just melt. I just feel like I'd already melt, but I'm still on this planet. I'm still alive, and it just, But we were working on this product launch, and so it's all this big tenting that has to go up and stuff. And so we're over in Vegas, and we had done the site inspection a long, long time ago, and I won't give you the name of the establishment over there, but it's a very, very popular, and, it's like celebrity, they always go here and da-da-da, this nightclub. So we're working with them and say, oh, yes, you can put a tent up for this. You can tent the patio and do all this and that and yada, 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 and said, oh, okay, but, also the weather and stuff, and how's this going to be iffy? Oh, it never, in Vegas, it's always this time of year, it's always sunny and nice and stuff. So anyway, pushing forward and stuff, so we contracted the tent company, they come out, they do the thing, and so they're responsible for getting the permits, right? All the permitting with the fire department, yada, yada, yada. The day before we're supposed to leave to go to Vegas, we get this call at 5 o'clock. Now, whenever you get a call at 5 o'clock, there's not a whole lot that you can do, right? I mean, everybody is closed.
That's why they call you at 5.
Call you at 5 o'clock. Literally, the guy calls at 5 o'clock, and he says, I have some bad news. I was unable to get the permits. And, you're just kind of like, did I hear what he said? I don't think I heard correctly or something. He says, I wasn't able to get the permits. And so he said, they're not putting any more permits out and because of da-da-da. So anyway, he called the venue, and the venue tried to call the fire department or whatever, and they couldn't get through and find out what's going on, yada, yada, yada. And the interim, we need to call the client to tell them what's happening. They're just like, oh, God, this is just not good. This is not good. So the client, very calm about it, and just basically just says, oh, just fix it, like that. And just like, so, okay. And you hang up the phone, just like, oh, you're in a panic. So we just thought and say, like, well, first thing we need to do, we just need to get there. We need to get on the road and stuff like this, get there. Obviously, you didn't sleep a wink because your mind is racing. So on the way there, we're calling getting the update, and it's true. The fire department is not going to cut. You cannot put a tent up. Well, on top of that, the weather's changed, and there's rain in the forecast, and windy conditions headed. So it's like, it cannot take place here. I mean, now, not only don't you have a tent provision, you can't have this thing in the rain. You can't have all these people in the rain. So we're calling, making phone calls to every little venue to in Vegas. Can you, are you available? Can you do, you know, da, 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 da. And no, we have something going on. And so we finally find a place and stuff at Caesar's Palace and stuff, Chinois, and able to host it, make the provisions and stuff. At that point, I lost all my hair. I turned completely, lost all my hair, start going gray. The wrinkles just start coming, and you know, you just loop over just a little bit more, slump over a little bit more. But the interesting thing was it came off for the guests, and so where they were supposed to originally go, we just directed them. They had not a clue that any of this was, you know, they just saw, it's going to be over here and stuff. And so they're directed, and the whole thing took place. It went off without a hitch. The client came over and said, you guys pulled a rabbit out of the hat and stuff. And that night, it was funny. Once they've been, usually you, like, if you're out of town, you stay because you're too dead. You know how you, yeah. you're dead tired, it's late. We hit the road. We're so out of here. We did the cleanup, the tear down, the lighting company is taking down the lights. Oh, that was the other part about it, because all the provisions had to be brought over, the lighting and everything said, it had to all be moved, and you know, which gets into like who's paying for it, which we had to pay for this, and which got into like when we get back, the first thing is going to be there's going to be a lawsuit against that tent company, which we, you know, it just so you could just see where it is, but that would be one that I could laugh at now. But at the time, it took years to get past that one. It's one of those that it took some time to get past.
I can imagine.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter how prepared you are sometimes.
That is. But, you know, it taught me a valuable lesson. It's an interesting thing because the outgrowth of that is just to say, instead of leaving it into someone's hands and stuff like this, is you need to do your own due diligence too. Right. And that was a learning lesson for me. And you think you have a lot of them. But again, it would be, if I had to do it over again, I would have gone two steps beyond the tent company. I would have called Vegas myself because I would have known probably he may have been holding that information for a long time, and I could have got a leap on it, and we could have made some changes before it even got
to he had to know.
He had to know. And,
he was probably thinking, we'll get it. Now it's... we got to let him know that we can't get it.
Right.
Or he was thinking, the tent won't be there, but... it never rains, so it won't be a big deal. Yeah. We'll put out some umbrellas.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to really work in this 100-mile wind condition and, tornado forecast.
You know, speaking of stuff like that, because having put on a few events and, as individuals dealing with the cities and waiting to hear if we got a permit, and I mean, I think we got the final notice to what, like 2 days?
10 days,
yeah.
5 days, within days.
Have you found some cities easier to deal with than others?
Oh, yeah.
And you have favorites?
Yeah. Actually, we did it's funny because one of the ones, well, first of all, if you can do an event and you go through the whole permit process in Los Angeles County, you can do it anywhere. Now, I mean, you may run into some complications in New York or Chicago or something like this,
right.
But basically, if you can go through the hoops and jump through the flames and stuff here, you could do it anywhere in the U.S. and probably do it much quicker and easier. But we did one. It was interesting because it was, again, it's this tempting thing. It was a new retail development that was going up, and so it was this kind of groundbreaking thing, and it was two huge tents, one the ceremony, one kind of the dining and, kind of fun thing. So it's in Palm Beach, Florida, and we had gone through, the process permits and the calls and the layouts and the, you need to have it all put together before it gets to the fire department. What happened is they were very, very lax in thinking, oh, but I don't understand why you're calling and this, and you're thinking, are you getting punked or what? I mean, you're kind of feeling a little bit uneasy because you're, am I speaking German? And I mean, what here? So we get down to Florida and stuff, and it was also very interesting because we call them to come out to make sure that everything is in place the way that it should be. I mean, you have the walkthrough with the fire marshal. Oh, I'm sure it's fine, and not necessary, and you know, yada, yada, yada. And it was just very lax. And you're thinking, like, wow, this is pretty incredible. Now, the other interesting thing about it, because here, like, when you have the, like, VIP restrooms, the flushable toilets, and you have to have a water source, or for this one, you had to have a water source. There, when you order the water source, you have to order the truck from a separate company, and then the water from another company, but they don't come hand. They're not a package deal. Like, wow, you would think a water. I need water. And it doesn't come with the truck. It's not a truck.
Empty truck.
Yeah, empty truck. But you got to go get the water, and just like, wow, okay. But it was very interesting working down there, and then the humidity and things. Oh, but I mean, yeah. it was a great project. Yeah. It was fun.
What does the future hold for you?
The future holds, I think, for us, I don't think, I know, just continue doing what we're doing. We would like to, I would say, like, if we could add a few clients, but it would be the ones if I could hand pick.
Right.
And obviously, you know, but I would say that we really enjoy it. And for example, we have things on the books for 2012 and, so it's just, I would just say, just keep doing what we're doing and just find the work, the process, because part of it for me is the process of doing it, and which I very much enjoy.
You know, in some industries, the way people find them is through word of mouth. And, mm-hmm. and I would assume this is the same with those types of industries. People just don't go to the yellow pages too much anymore.
No.
And go, well, we'll try this one. So have you had a good growth via word of mouth or via past clients?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because for us it's also been effective internet, because there's a lot out there. And then one of the things we try to distinguish ourselves, we're always doing like industry stuff. So we're speaking at industry conferences. I mean, you know, you're just trying to distinguish yourself from all the masses and everybody out there. So. Which has been pretty pretty powerful. And then also some clients word of mouth. But I would say for the most part, the initial thing has come internet. And then for us, it's always building that personal relationship, because we like to sit down and have that cup of coffee, just like, you know, the coffee talk first or something like this, and just get to kind of know each other and no pressure, and then kind of feel it out like that without it being... like you're forcing somebody, and so that's been, you know, one of the most effective approaches for us.
Also, the follow-up to that question is, once again, with certain industries, you find, especially with the internet, you find a lot of people popping up,
right,
claiming to be,
right,
you know, claiming to be event planners, claiming to be whatever, you know, there's some certain types of industries lend themselves to that.
Right.
You seeing that a lot, and I know you said you speak a lot at corporate events and things like that. Is that how you combat that?
Yeah, I think, and you know, the awards and things like this, it's like, you know, I'm not boasting, but, you know, when you win kind of the Oscar of your industries a couple of times and stuff, now we've lost more times than Meryl Streep, so, but it's just those type of things. But, you know, also I think it's just the way that you present yourself in the industry, and that's very, very helpful. And it's also an industry that's not regulated. So it's not like you have the American bar. Oh, you didn't pass the bar, so you can't practice law. For us, it's just like, oh, I did my sister's wedding. Oh, and okay, now I'm an event planner. Okay, I did, you know, I worked on that, and, you know, like that. So it's just one that it just pops up. But also, I think people are pretty savvy, because, I mean, just as you guys, when you go out, you go shopping and stuff like this, it's just like, oh, this meat doesn't smell so fresh to me. Oh, okay, it sounds pretty good. Oh, this beer is pretty cool. Oh, this one is not wonderful. So, I mean, you know, so I think consumers are they have to do their own homework, of course, but I think people are pretty savvy and kind of able to separate those type of things. But sometimes that we always say, too, is you get what you pay for. So if the person says, we just had this happen. It was a wrap party for a movie that's coming out, and it's actually coming out this month. I'm not going to say the name of the movie, but it's a summer movie, and so they approached us about doing the wrap party for it. So, and the budget is just like, wow, this cannot be true. I mean, you know, where's the money here? I mean, you know, how are you going to do this and stuff? So we tried our best with the caterer, just like to push it, the to reach the budgetary parameters and say that finally I just said I can't, and I just said I'm just got to give it to you, this is what it is and stuff. So anyway, I didn't get a call back from him. Obviously it's like going to be out of the price range, but the moral of the story, and getting to your point, is there's somebody out there who probably did it, and I don't know how they did it without having egg on face and stuff. And if you have to sacrifice the quality of your work or your reputation or your brand, just like you guys have a great brand, Swoop World, I mean, it's an incredible brand. So if you have to sacrifice that, you know, you kind of think like, I don't know if I want to do that. Right. So it just may be worth the pass. I'll just pass.
And it sounds like you guys are in a good space to be able to say that. Because a lot of times, going back to like when I started, it's like, I literally sat there and watched and waited for that phone to ring. You know, I'd be like, for hours, man. Yeah. I'm waiting. When that phone rang, it didn't matter.
Didn't want to leave the house.
Yeah, didn't go, no way. And when that phone rang, it's like, whatever was on the other end, I said yes. You know what I mean? Even when I was like, oh, this is horrible. This is not what I want to cook. This is, you know, because my specialty was like going into people's homes, high end. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your family over, and there's going to have 20 people, and you want 6 courses. Right. And that's what I did.
Right.
You know, I'm getting people, could you do, like a Mexican barbecue with Southern food? It's like, well,
yes.
Yeah, I can. You know, so when you're starting out, you just have to say yes. Right. But it's good. It sounds like you guys are in the position where you could say, you know, and like in this case, there's somebody out there that did it. There's somebody out there that cut a bunch of corners and served them crappy food or had everybody sitting in the blistering sun or in the rain, whatever the case is. And there's people out there that's what they do.
Right.
And it's good to know, like, what you do, and then to be able to... I find that's the biggest mistake people make, you know? You want high-end stuff, and you're the guy that does kettle, drum, popcorn? Well, you don't try to do what you can't do.
Right.
Do what you can do, and do it better than anyone else.
I agree with that 100%. I don't know if I even have a comment on that other than to say I totally can identify with that... with that scenario, and you know, and again, it's like egg on face. And on that one, it's just that we knew that if it had to be what you're saying, there's something that's not going to happen here, and then they'll be in your face, and why isn't here? Well, because it wasn't enough money, and so so why take the job when you know that you can't execute this properly?
Exactly.
We're going to take our last break and then and wrap things up with Greg Jenkins here from Bravo Productions. And you're listening to Swoop's World on Swoop's World Primetime. We'll be back after this.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
It's much about nothing until no one's left behind. It's all about failure. The failure of mankind. When will they ever give a damn about us? They take all our money and now it's all about trust.
Hi, I'm Susanna.
And this is Debbie from the Bangles.
For RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving.
What does it mean to be a designated driver?
It actually takes guts and shows you care about your friends. After all, their lives are in your hands.
So why don't you and your friends take it in turns to be the designated driver when you go out? You'll make the road safer for all of us.
A public service message brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a seven-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this seven-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the US and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the US Open Championship twice? 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Swoop World.
Yeah, that was Barry Rolera, one of our past guests, and he's played with everybody from the Righteous Brothers and who else?
School on one of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Schooled. Who did we figure out?
Harrison, George Harrison. George Harrison, yeah. Taught him how to play some stuff
on the guitar. How to play the guitar,
yeah,
right.
Good stuff. The song you heard earlier at the beginning of this break was Save Us From Ourselves, another Mark Black song. He was here last night. And like we said, check him out. It's very good. Our guest today is Greg Jenkins from Bravo Productions, and we are really happy to have Greg in studio with us. And Greg, I was looking here at some of the things you've been mentioned in, and I see my favorite Wish magazine is listed. The Rob Report.
Oh, the Rob Report.
I go through there and say someday.
I live in. Yeah, definitely the wish list. Definitely the wish list. So
very good. Is there anything that we didn't cover today that you'd like to let everybody know about?
Yeah, I would just say that two things. One, if you again would like to get in the industry, pursue your dreams and stuff like this, and just decide what area of endeavor you want to go into. The other is just don't walk in our territory. There's no competition out there. I'm just kidding. No, but it's just been very enjoyable and very enjoyable meeting you guys. And, I mean, the best. Just the best guys.
We have a good time. Yeah. You know, if people want to get a hold of you, find you, I know you have a website. What's your web address?
Yeah, it's www.bravoevents-online.com.
And if you're in the chat room, it's there.
And if you're listening after we have gone off the air, if you go to the post on this on our site, swoopsworld.com, you can see where it says Greg Jenkins, our guest. Click on that. You'll be able to hear the show again. And also, if you hover over Bravo Events, it should link you right to the website. So that is great. And like I said, it's a pleasure meeting you.
A pleasure meeting you guys.
Thank
you guys are great.
And all the best to you, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. You too. I mean, you guys are the best.
Thank you.
We have fun, and we like finding local businesses that are really doing well and really supporting the community and doing great things. So
appreciate that.
And
we're
very happy to have you in.
Appreciate it.
You listen to Swoop World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're going to take you on a little longer break here this time. We're going to let you hear Fat Reggae Dub Status. They were here a couple weeks ago. Oh, no, actually, it's a couple months ago now. I'm here.
I guess so. Times are flying now.
Bunch of young guys, man, out of Huntington Beach, and this is called
John
Back
Munn.
To the Pad.
Back to the Pad.
last. I just smoked some grass. Holy shit, I graduated. How the fuck did I pass? Cause time shoots by like a star in the sky. And with this mic in my hand, yeah, that's how I'm passing by. You're hearing this because you found out that I write a story about my life, simply one at a time. So now it's back to the pad again. Smoke out with my dad again. Someone hit up Lauren, cause I need myself a Heineken. Got a pack of bull, can't give it up at length. With no reason to be pep, because this is a godsend. Back to smoking blunts are hard. Cop, check my card. Questions about my life, where my music takes me far.
Because there's nowhere I'd rather be. Chilling with my friends in the city by the sea. Cause there's nowhere I'd rather go. With a one-way ticket on my way back to home. So now Southern California, where the music's always pumping, the party's always down and the bass is always thumping.
So now bump up the music and turn it up loud. Rolling through your town, we be raising up a crowd.
Standing up tall in this life that I'm living. Thrown into a pond and now I'm the fish that's swimming in a fucking abyss. Cause you're taken away from every person that I'm missing. And you're thrown into a situation surrounded by Christians who are telling me the road to take. Make no mistake, I've got to make my grand escape to find the truth. No person can tell me what to do, cause I'm telling you how the fuck it is. Cause this Christian religion, church affiliation, all of these are nothing that I'm used to. But my open-mindedness is like a weapon that I can't use. There's nowhere I'd rather be. Chilling with my friends in the city by the sea. Cause there's nowhere I'd rather go. With a one-way ticket on my way back to home. So now Southern California, where the music's always pumping, the party's always down and the bass is always thumping.
So now bump up the music and turn it up loud. Rolling through your town, we be raising up a crowd.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Last Day Off, and you're listening to Swoops World Radio.
The week's meal,
to all the small events.
I just want you to know. Keep talking. We're still here having fun with Greg and Tom, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, from Bravo Productions, and we had a good time. And like I said, definitely check those guys out. And we were sitting here saying our goodbyes, so we got back sooner than we thought we would.
It happens a lot here.
But I'd like to, once again, guys, thanks for showing
up. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Stay in touch.
All right, we'll do. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, you're listening to Swoops World, man. Swoops World Prime Time. We're going to be on again tomorrow night at First Fridays in Long Beach. We're going to be broadcasting from the Michelle Mangione, what do they call that? Songwriter Showcase event at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill. So come on out to say hello, and definitely come out and check out First Fridays, because there's tons of things going on down there on the avenue. They call it Artlantic on First Fridays, but if you haven't been, You really enjoy it, and if you've been, you can see it continues to grow each month, and so many different activities and so many different locations. So get on down. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock. We'll be at the Mirage at 7 o'clock, and we'll be on from 7 to about 8:30. So if you're in the area, then come in and say hi, stop by, you know, and give a shout out. We're going to be interviewing Michelle, I'm sure, and probably a couple other people from the bands that'll be performing, and whoever walks in, you know, it's kind of a laid-back thing for us, and we really enjoy being there. Next week, we have a couple different shows, as always. But on the 12th, we're going to have another live event. We'll be broadcasting from the Coffee Gallery in Altadena, and that's located at 2029 North Lake in Altadena, California. And if you want to look up what they're all about, go to www.coffeegalleryfrontstage.com. Check out what they got going on there. There's really cool things they have happening there. They have a lot of open mic nights and so many different other events that go on there. And you want to check that out. You don't want to miss that. A couple of our good friends we want to tell you about, as always, Powerhouse Fitness and our good friend Jack Nunn. You know, if you have an urge to get back in shape or work out or stay in shape, or you're looking for a place to go work out, looking for some new things to do, if you haven't tried indoor rowing, check out Powerhouse Fitness. They offer so much more. They offer Zumba boot camp, spin classes, personal training, diet, nutrition, you name it, they got it. They have two locations here in Long Beach, 5750 Boathouse Lane, as well as 1347 Loma Street. Their website is powerhousefit.com, and if you want to give them a call, it's 562-688-1716, and if you tell them Swoops World sent you, you get 1 week for free. Also, a couple other things happening this weekend. We have our good friend Don Morishige from By Art Studios right here on 10th Avenue in Long Beach. Grand reopening, and Don called in yesterday to give us a little heads up on what's happening there. Expanding the antiques and the collectibles, as well as her vintage jewelry and modern original art. If you haven't seen Don's art, you got to check it out. Go to buyartstudios.com, see what she's got to offer. She's an amazing artist, and she's going to have a lot of things there, and it's a big grand reopening. Check that out. That's going to be Saturday, June 4th, from 12 to 5. The location is 2828 East 10th. That's 10th and Temple. And the phone number is 562-786-3623. And once again, the web address is buyartstudios.com. And last but not least, our local friends of this show is Brandon Williams from SoCal Mobile Detailing and Spa. You know, like you have a car, truck, SUV, or boat, you don't even have to take your car anywhere. He comes to you, and he will get you all dialed in with a nice detail. He's got great prices. Give him a call, and I have a list of all the prices, but I don't want to read them all right now. But I guarantee you he beats everybody in town, and he does fantastic work because I've seen his work. And the number is 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121. Or you can email him at so.calmds.com. That's SoCal Mobile Detailing and Spa. Brandon Williams, and he's coming to you, man. Check him out. Tell him Swoops World sent you, and we'll work out a deal for you there. Peter.
What's up?
What's happening, man?
Not much.
Oh, man. Oh, just let me give a heads up. Next week on the show, we have Ruwanga Samoth. and Wednesday night, and he is a musician and songwriter, and he's done a lot of work for a lot of the other musicians. He's played with a lot of different people and done some things in the music industry that you and the music and TV industry that you'll know, and movie industry also that you'll know. And on Thursday, Jack Nunn from Powerhouse Fitness will be stopping by. I see you got some stuff opened up over there, man.
Yeah, I was looking a little earlier. You know, everybody's watched cartoons or something where the you know, where the guy gets the air.
Oh, I heard that story. Yeah,
something like that, and it floats off, right? Yeah. That's the kid version of it. Then there's other not so, you know, friendly versions of it. It actually happened. Well, it's being reported that it happened. I didn't see it myself.
Yeah, the show, the one I saw had his picture laying in a hospital bed.
Let's see if it. The other one.
See if it. Go ahead, tell the story, man. It's
the guys. This guy said Steve McCormick is his name. He's a truck driver in Opotiki, I think I said that right, New Zealand's North Island. He was hospitalized, even though co-workers managed to turn off just in time the compressed air hose he had fallen on. Now, earlier...
That takes a direct shot.
Well, earlier in the thing, they talked about how, you know, this is the urban legend, you know, that people fall on it, it goes up their ass, yeah, and boom, they fill up with air and explode. This didn't quite happen. He fell on it, and it the knob, the air of the air hose, right, says here it jabbed him between the fat and muscle in his butt, and he actually started to inflate. Yeah, here's a picture of him.
So, yeah, that's a picture I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, he's gonna make it. He's fine, but.
Is New Zealand the Florida, that side of the world? Come on, man. That's a Floridian story if I've ever heard one.
it pushed air into his body at 100 pounds per square inch. You know, if you've ever gone to you know, pump up your tire and put your hand in front
of
it, you know, that's a pretty steady flow. This is more than that. And if that jabbing into your body, wow. I said, here's his boss, Robbie Peterson, witnessed the accident and says his body started to literally blow up, and before we knew it, his face went up like a balloon.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
Gosh. Wow.
Nobody said he was full of hot air or anything like that?
Apparently his son was there as well. He's a manager of the company, and he was, you know, he says it was just crazy to watch, and we knew he needed help quick. The pain was unreal. Lifting him up and off the nozzle was the worst.
Oh, God.
Gruesome.
I'll pass.
Gruesome. That is just certain things you just don't ever want to.
You
experience.
Got that right, man.
So, but here's the best quote. McCormick says, I was blowing up like a football. I had no choice but just lie there, blowing up like a balloon.
Is this an American football or a soccer ball?
I'm guessing he's, you know, football. He might be talking a rugby ball for all we know.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, man.
Oh, jeez.
Get this. When the paramedics tried to insert a needle for morphine drip, right?
Yeah.
Because naturally he was in excruciating pain. The pressure from the air inside his body pushed the needle out. They're also unable to give him air through a tube in his nose, nostrils.
Oh, how do they do? I mean, what do they do? I mean, how do you get all that compressed air out of him?
I didn't even read that part. I just kind of get a little freaked out, to be honest with you. Basically, a team of doctors put a hose through his ribs.
Ugh.
Now,
there's nothing about this story that I'm liking at all.
To get air to his lungs. The doctors were able to get fluid out of him. The air had to come out the natural way, resulting in an enormous case of flatulence. It took 3 days for him to get back to his normal size.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah, way crazy.
But the good news is he suffered no broken bones, no bruises, just a hole from where he was punctured. And then, of course, the hole they had to put in through his ribs. I've had holes through my ribs. That hurts. Early. That is painful. Yeah. But he expects to be back and work in 2 weeks.
It's a better man than I am. I'd be done.
Well, it's funny because he lived. If he had died, that just wouldn't be funny at all.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, scary, 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 man. And then here's just really stupid. But, you know, what can we say? We're talking about the government here. There's this guy who... okay, there was a Ferrari being held for a legitimate reason. They didn't tell me what that was. But the FBI agent who was assigned to return the Ferrari to its owner. Everybody knows where this is going.
We know exactly where this is going.
Completely destroyed the car. And now... the government is refusing to refund him any of that $750,000 that car is worth.
Why did they have the car in the first place?
What they're saying is the Ferrari F50 was stolen in 2003 from a dealer and discovered 5 years later. The FBI kept it in Lexington, Kentucky as part of an ongoing criminal investigation. Okay. FBI agent Fred Kingston was to move the Ferrari from the garage in May 2009. Hamilton Thompson said, the Attorney General, U.S. Attorney, I should say, said Kingston invited him on a short ride. Just a few seconds after we left the parking lot, we went around a curve, and the rear of the car began sliding. Now, that means they're going around the
way
curve.
Way too fast.
Yeah, certain speed that probably wasn't what they were supposed to be doing.
Simply omitted from the story.
Yeah. The agent tried to regain control, but the car fishtailed, slid sideways, up under the curve. The vehicle came to a rest. Against a row of bushes and a small tree. Probably like a 1,000-year-old oak. Good news is nobody was hurt. Kingston did have... well, the driver wasn't hurt. The U.S. attorney wasn't hurt. The driver had a few stitches from a cut on his head. So that's the good news. Nobody was seriously injured there. Thank goodness. Oof, that'd have been horrible. But the company that, you know, that basically owns it...
right.
Says that it's total loss. It's a total loss. That apparently the insurance company has verified that. And it wants a claim of $750,000, because that's the value of the car.
Right.
Now, admittedly, that's probably what they were going to sell it for. I'm sure they'd be willing to, at this point, settle for at least breaking even, since it was stolen to begin with, right?
Now, since they had the car so long, had the insurance company already paid the guy out?
It doesn't say anything about that, so it's entirely possible that that happened. Motors insurance attorney, we don't really know what happened. We asked for a lot of information. The government's refusing to give information. They're also refusing to pay. It's totally possible that
he's already paid.
Yeah, and so maybe, you know, he's got a whole bunch of money.
Basically. Still looks for a good story, though.
It does. I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, when you think that they've taken your car to the impound,
you know. Some dude's sporting around it.
Yeah, it's, what's that? What's the one movie? Fuelers Bay Off. Yeah. Right? Except for here, it was the government that was actually doing it.
Now he was returning the car.
Well, no.
But why was he giving somebody a ride in it?
He wasn't. His job was to return it. Okay. Before he returned it, he decided to try it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Obviously, this probably wasn't the first time he tried it out. I mean, it doesn't say that, but I'm, you know, he didn't. This wasn't the first time he tried out, and then he crashed.
I got a feeling that he's got a little less pay these days.
Yeah. So here, one of the comments says, "I'm wondering how many miles this car racked up while under government supervision." That would be a good question, I'm sure. I don't imagine it's going to be answered anytime soon, but you know.
See, here's where he screwed up. There's a lot of places you screwed up. But, you know, realistically, if you know, there's times where they say, hey, take this car back.
Yeah.
And if that's what he would have done, that would have been fine. He screwed up, but he put somebody in it. Gave him a ride, right? Because otherwise he'd be able to say, hey, look, I was taking it back.
Doing what I was supposed to do.
I lost control. I might be driving a little too fast. But now when you got some extra passengers in there, you're obviously showing it off. They're not going to be with you when you deliver it, right? Mm-hmm. So you've already screwed up.
Yep.
Oh, poor bastard.
Yep. Well, then there's the thing you sent me today.
Yeah, that was just wrong, man. That's just an abuse of power, you know? I mean,
well, you know, here's the thing is, everybody was wrong in my book. So here, what we're discussing is this guy who is a...
He's a train enthusiast.
Yeah, he's a train enthusiast.
And he's a photographer.
Like, he's a photographer, and so he's from Oregon. He decided he wanted to go... He was traveling the East Coast, and he wanted to take pictures.
Right.
Of... you know, of subway systems, metro systems, light rail systems, and he was doing so. He was taking pictures as well as moving pictures, from what I understood. And, you know, didn't have any problems in New York, didn't have any problems in D.C. He showed up in Baltimore, and he got a bunch of grief. From first, I guess, the employee.
Yeah.
And then the employee called the police, the metro police, whatever they were called. Yeah. And, it's 12 minutes of video. Did you see video two? I started to, and then I was like, you know.
You gotta just go to the end of video two.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, you know, with you, as you, I think you were on the road, and I was on it at one point in time going, all right, you know, answer their questions, do that, and then you move on, right? It's and you know, they're full of shit about part of the law, but whatever. But when you see the video two, then I just go, you know, that was just completely wrong. But basically what happens in video two, he fast forwards through a bunch of stuff, but he shows it to you, he rapids it through because he says there's nothing going on. So they hang with him, and the same thing, the guy's like going, well, what are you doing? And he gets on the train. Well, one of the guys gets on the train with him. Behind, you know, gets on the same train.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rides with him all the way down to the Penn Station, right? And apparently they called ahead to the Amtrak people at Penn Station.
Right.
So he says by the time he got to Penn Station, he packed his camera away and, you know, he's just waiting to get off because he was going to go do something else. So he's met by the Amtrak police, and he says, the guy says, I need your CRD, understand, you're whatever. We're in Baltimore.
Right.
He says, well, I know I have to show my ID to buy a ticket there anyway, so it's no big deal. Because I showed my ID. I didn't have my camera packed or anything. And he said the Amtrak guy was obviously kind of doing it because he was called.
Right.
So all said and done, he says the guy looks at his ID. There it is. Read, just go ahead and read that. Yeah, let's pause it.
All right, it says that was 35 minutes. So they've gone from the metro station to Amtrak, Penn Station. 35 minutes from my initial contact to boarding. I had already missed my train at Penn Station, but there was another that would leave in approximately 10 minutes after this light rail train gets to the depot. I packed my camera and prepared to make a beeline for the ticket window upon arrival to Penn Station. As it turns out, Officer Shed, however you say that, I know what you want to say, but followed me to Penn Station and recruited the help of Amtrak police officers. Since I already packed my camera, I did not have it out in time to document my next detainment. All right. Let's see. My next detainment. Keep going.
You put a lot of time and effort in
this. There we go. Once I stepped into Baltimore Penn Station, an Amtrak police officer immediately asked me for my ID due to my photographic activities, despite the fact that I had no camera present. He only knew of this because of Officer Shett. I do not feel that Amtrak police would have made contact with me if I had walked into the Penn Station with a camera on my neck, but because the MTA followed me and turned this into a big deal, Amtrak had no choice but to investigate. I also knew that I would have to give my ID anyway to purchase a ticket, so to avoid further delay, I gave my ID to Amtrak police.
It's a problem with video text.
Oh, yeah. Once the Amtrak officer ran my name and jotted down some info, he returned the car and explained that it was not illegal nor against policy to take pictures inside the station or on the platform. I was let go and told to have a nice day. See, and that's the thing is, so these guys.
See, when I got to that, I was like, you know, screw those other guys. They, yeah. They were just giving him a hard time.
They were. They were giving him a hard time.
They were making
time.
Fun of the way he spoke. Well, you speak with a little. He says, I'm deaf, yeah. Right? You know?
He's deaf or hard of very, hard of, very extreme hard of hearing. Yeah. And he's, you know, he speaks like someone that, you know, born that way or became that way, and you know, so he has a lisp and he's not totally clear all the time, but you know, in his fairness, he never really lost his cool. He seemed to always be trying to answer their questions.
Yeah.
They were giving him a hard time. Here's my problem with him: if he'd have just shown them his fucking ID,
that's true,
they would have left him alone. Almost certainly.
No, well,
they may not.
You know what, I thought the same thing at one point, but the guy with what kept going on with the old you know, you can't film here to get, you know, gets the Patriot
bothered,
Act.
Yeah, you know what bothered me about the police
activity? And he said, show me the
right,
law.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
And the thing that bothered me was also the police kept saying, well, in Baltimore, or in Maryland, you're not allowed to record someone without their permission. You know, here he is.
Surreptitiously, you can't.
Right.
But he's got a carry.
And as he pointed out, until you guys stepped within hearing range,
right?
I wasn't. He didn't say it that way, but
that's what he.
So it's like, and that's where. Like, I thought he was actually going to get arrested for that. I thought they're going to actually arrest him. And so then we said, well, okay, then I'll move over here so that I cannot record your voices.
Yeah, and they walked up.
Then they told him to sit down, and they wouldn't let him move. So it's like, I mean, that was, they were really jerks about it. But at the same time, like I said, I think if he'd have shown his ID, they probably would have left him alone because they would have verified. All they want to do was be able to run him and make
listen,
sure.
Dude, having been in those situations, I you're right. If he'd shown his ID, most people would have said, all right, we know who you are. Have a good ride, right?
Yeah.
I don't think those two guys
those two guys may
jerks,
not have. But the other guy that came along, I think, would have said, okay, look, we've got his name. You know,
he tried that same stunt too, though. Hey, you can record.
Well, I think he by that time was just pissed that he'd gotten involved. now it's all recorded. So now he's feeling like I got to back it. I think if all this had happened after he showed his ID and they kept threatening, then I'd have really been like, this is wrong, because he didn't. Then
it's funny the sides you and I have taken it.
I know. Well, I mean they were totally wrong, but I'm the kind of guy that I don't go looking for trouble.
Oh, you're right. And the thing is if he'd have shown his ID, most likely in a normal world, this was the bizarro world
for sure.
They'd have said, "Okay, dude, whatever." But you know, they're trying to quote law that's not law.
Oh yeah,
and shit like that. You know what? You're gonna bullshit somebody. You can't do that, man. Especially when you're being recorded. Give me a break.
Oh, I know.
Don't you know you're going to be on YouTube in about an hour?
Well, and then, yeah. And then the guy, the one cop that like kept putting his hat over the thing. It's like, they'd already been standing there for like 10 minutes. And now he's going to try to cover up.
Aaron, what he even said? He says, well, I don't really understand this because I've already got the shots.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it really was asinine. It was, like you said, bizarro world stuff. It just made absolutely no sense.
It looks like the Keystone Cops, man.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you walk up, and they're like, what are you doing, sir? And he answered their questions and stuff like that, and he should have shown his ID. You know, they screwed up. They said, no, you're not under arrest. Well, then technically, he's free to go.
Right.
You know,
and then he tried to, and they wouldn't let
him.
They
wouldn't let him go.
Which then makes you wonder if they don't open themselves up to, you know, some sort of lawsuit or whatever.
I'm just saying, you know, it was, and then they ride on the train with them all the way down there. I mean, you know what? You have to have a kind of enough street sense to realize most of the time, you know, this guy is not a problem. Now, I don't know what the MTA has to do down there in Baltimore or whatever. I don't know what kind of crimes and things are going on. Maybe it was a slow day.
Yeah.
But this guy...
Here's the only other possibility to all of this that could possibly justify them. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched, I think there's 24 minutes. I watched about 14 minutes of it. So maybe in the other 10 minutes that I missed, you don't know what he looks like.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, you do? They show him? Yeah. That's my only thing. Maybe he's got a turban. Maybe he's, you know, that makes it right.
He turns the camera on his face at one point.
Oh, does he? Okay, so I didn't see that.
Says something. The guy starts saying, your commentary, because he says, like, I don't know why they're doing this. I'm not a bad guy.
Right.
And
So didn't he look like a more or less normal guy?
Dude, he looked yeah.
See, that was the only thing I could, you know, maybe he's got like, you know, camo painted on his face.
And you know me, I'm a strong proponent that says anybody can pull a crime, no matter what they look like. The kid next door could be the mass murderer. But, you know, when you're out there on the streets, you got to size people up. And this guy...
You have to recognize it. Right. And that was the only thing I was thinking is maybe this guy's like, he's all decked out in camo. He's got like... You know, he just looks like a guy that's looking for trouble. And that was the only thing that could have really even...
Got in that vein. You know?
Then, you know...
Yeah, you're like a
slow day.
Seriously? Yeah.
And these guys just are being jerks. I mean, I was just trying to...
Well, that's why they're being a jerk, because he wasn't a threat. I'm thinking, you know, come on, guys. You're giving the Yab a bad name, man.
Yeah.
and you're right. If he'd have shown his ID, it might have ended. But I don't think so, because the way these guys were kept saying, you know, and the bullshit that you kept trying to throw at him.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened in 9/11? I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Well, see, knowing that, then especially, yeah, those guys are just dicks. There's just no way around it.
Hey, you turned that camera on himself. I'm like, really? Seriously?
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, God. And then did you see the part where the guy takes his camera and goes, well, I'm going to take a picture of you.
Oh, no.
Says,
oh, no, I didn't.
he says, well, you take a picture, I'm going to take a picture of you. What are you, 14?
10, there's no laws against that either. As long as, I mean, there's rules. But, I mean, if you're in a public space.
Public space, public property. Yeah.
You're allowed to take a picture of pretty much anything.
They kept saying, one thing I don't know for sure, because I know it's not here, they kept calling that MTA platform state property. I mean, maybe it is in Maryland. Here it belongs to the MTA at City of Best. You know, it doesn't belong to the state.
Yeah.
County.
There's a couple different systems that run through there. So it all depends whether... Because light rail sometimes goes from D.C. to Maryland.
Right.
And then that might have been...
But he even said, well, what's the statute? They couldn't quote this. You know, here's the thing.
They're MTA cops, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They should know.
If you're going to tell somebody they're violating a statute,
yeah,
you should be able to say, you know, 148 PC.
Or at least call up somebody and say, what's the number there? What's the exact statute?
Yeah, so I could write this guy up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely suspicious. I mean, it may have been state, but, you know, MTA usually... Those are
counties, sheriffs,
right?
Sheriffs.
So now, assuming that Maryland's run the same way,
which they may not be, yeah.
But assuming so, then that was county. So point was is that they really pushed to the point of absurdity.
I thought I was watching a Family Guy or something.
Yeah.
Totally absurd. I was like, oh, good county, you're killing me, man. Wow. Give me a break on this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got anything else, man?
Not really.
That's good, because we got another show to do tomorrow, so let's wrap this puppy up, man.
That's right, huh?
Well, you have been listening to Swoops World Prime Night. We're here every Thursday from 4 to 6, or most Thursdays from 4 to 6. A couple new ways to listen to us. If you have an Android or a BlackBerry, you can use the Nobex radio companion. You can find the link to that right on our website on the Listening Live page. As well as the Your Muse and the TSL TalkStream Live app. So TalkStream Live likes with iPhone. Your Muse FM works with almost all smartphones. And the Nobex works with BlackBerry and Android. And we're on all of them. So definitely check that out. But thanks for listening. We want to thank Greg Jenkins, our guest, for tuning in or joining us tonight and being a guest. And definitely check out our post on Greg and Bravo Productions. And if you have a corporate event or anything, you need somebody to set that thing up for you, give them a call because good people, very good people. We really want to say if you're going to tune in tomorrow, we'll be on at 7 o'clock right out of the Mirage, Mediterranean Grill, live from First Friday's Long Beach. That's going to do it for us tonight. Good night, all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.